Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 403, Fields of Faith. Minister Tanya Schnitz delivered this message on Sunday, January 5th, 2025, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Let's just give him a shout of praise. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you. We thank you that Sarah has wound us up. She stirred the fire. She stirred the flames. Thank you, Lord, that we give you glory. We need you, Lord. We cannot do this without you. So Holy Spirit, I invite you in even deeper to all of our hearts right now. Open the veil so they can hear the word of the Lord, so that they can receive wisdom and revelation into what I'm speaking. Thank you, Lord, for the intentionalness of planting seeds into this body, into anybody listening to the sound of my voice. I throw those seeds at you and say, catch them, receive them, plant them in your heart. And so, Lord, use my lips today to speak your word. Flow through, Holy Spirit. In your name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, this is called Fields of Faith. You know, in our Hearts Alive 2025 series that just started, Happy New Year. Happy New Year. I asked to have the first sermon of the year because the Lord put this in my heart a couple months ago, and it just has to come out. It has to come out over everybody to understand what he's speaking and to get that field cultivated for your lives, for his kingdom. So in message number one with Pastor Sarah a couple weeks ago, the question was, what's in your hearts? It was about the power of attitude. Do we have good attitude? Come on, get attitude within you of who is inside. Who are you carrying? Get an attitude. Go, I have the power of God within me. Hallelujah. Wow. So the Lord loves and looks at our hearts, but what are you believing? What are you seeing in your heart? Is it faith or fear? Message number two that Pastor Harley gave last week was about heart trouble. What are we permitting or forbidding? We get to decide that. How are you handling adversity in your life? What we speak out of our mouths makes a difference. So are we speaking faith or fear? Today, we're going to be focusing on the seeds of faith, putting in the word of God because it is the power to save. In the song that we sang today called Seeds of Faith, she sang, in a field of doubt, plant a seed of faith. We can look at our lives as fields, and we need to put seeds into them to bring a harvest into whatever area that we are lacking. I want you to get a vision of that, and as I'm talking today, we're going to be showing you pictures. So God is so good because he gives us the choice in how we want to change our lives. He allows us to partner with him and to put principles into place. It's up to us. You get to choose. He never forces himself on you. It's up to you. Do you want to live down here in the world, carnal, or do you want to live in the spirit world, in the spirit realm, and live with God, rising above every situation? It's up to us if we receive the harvest that he has for us. And that's what this sermon is all about. We have to put his word over situations so that he can water it and bring his promises to fullness. So the first picture I'm showing here is an empty field. It's an empty field right by my house, and I take pictures a lot, so I was so thankful to be able to go through all the years of pictures and pull up these for you today. So here we are. We're an empty field. All right, so get the vision of that. Here's our hearts before we even start. It's empty, and we have to do something with it. You know, if the farmer stayed in his barn all season long and said, I'm going to get me some corn, some wheat, some soybeans, but he never does anything, what do you think he's going to get?
A lot of nothing.
A lot of nothing. That's right. Nothing. There'll be nothing there. So the first thing he does is he prepares his soil. When you live in the country, you can see this firsthand, and you watch him go out there, and he tills everything up. He moves things around. He takes out the rocks, the stones, the weeds, the dead fish, the dead birds, whatever's laying in the field. He gets rid of it, right? And so that's what we have to do. We have to remove hindrances in our hearts. We have to remove those things. That's what Pastor Harley was talking about. What are we permitting? Why do we want those hindrances in the way? We get to decide how good our field is. I love that. Doesn't that make you feel like you have some authority in your life? You don't have to live in the victimhood of the world. You can rise above and prepare your soil and put in the word of God and be victorious. I love that. I lived 30 years in the negative side of things. I have power and authority living within me, and I use it now. Praise God. I'm so thankful for the change of heart. All right, the next thing the farmer does, he rolls around in his big combine thing, and he plants the seeds, right? Whatever he wants to harvest, he plants. Corn, wheat, soybean, all right? He plants that. Now, how much is he going to get? If he just does this strip behind my house, because that's a river right there, if he just does that strip, that's all he's going to get. A little bit. Is that going to bring him much money? Is that going to bring him in much harvest? No, it's not. He has to plant as much as he wants to receive. Okay, so the more you plant, the more you receive. Do you see that? You know, the cost of Jesus is free. He paid for our sins to be forgiven. It's free. But there is a cost to following him. And that means sitting with him and putting in the word of God to cultivate a huge harvest in your life. So anyways, he gets the seeds out there. And the third thing the farmer has to do is trust in the power of the seed. That tiny little seed is going to produce for him large amounts of crop. That is God's faithfulness to his word. He always is faithful. So our first topic today is soil. God gave everyone his word. Every one of us has the same amount of the word. We all have Bibles. We're very fortunate here in America. We all have many Bibles. So you have the same amount of word that I have, right? All right. So the condition, though, of the heart or the soil determines how fruitful the word will be in our lives. If your heart isn't prepared, if it isn't willing to open up and spend time with God and receive from God, then you're not going to get as much word in you as I do. Or you. I'm not just saying me. But you see what I'm saying? It's the condition of your heart and how much time you put in with the word, with the presence of God. It affects whether the time that we spend with God affects whether the seed will take root, mature, and produce a harvest. So, you know, if you just get one verse a day, it's great. Get one verse a day. But if you put in three chapters, you're going to get more. Okay, so you have to do the work there. The soil makes the difference. This farmer's soil makes a difference. This field right here produces a lot. He has cultivated that. That river overflows and dead fish get in there, and that makes the soil rich. Not that you need dead fish, okay? But I'm saying this plot of land right here produces really great crops, and I'm very fortunate to live right beside it. We all have that same seed, and each farmer, you're all farmers, you can borrow my shovel if you need, must take action to receive the benefit from the word of God. So now we're going to talk about types of soil that we find in Mark 4, 14 to 20. And if you want to turn there with me, I will give you a second to do so. Mark 4, 14 to 20. Types of soil. He's so good that he puts it all here in the word for us. The number 14, it says, the farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Verse 16, others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Verse 18, still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Verse 20, others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. So praise the Lord. All right, so the first one he talked about in verse 15 was the pathway. They hear the word, But Satan comes immediately to steal the seed. Basically, there is no soil at all. The ground is hard and not prepared to receive. And at one time, we were all there. At one time, we were the pathway. We were not cultivated at all. You think of a pathway in the woods when you walk on it is really hard and compacted, and you just keep walking along and packing it down even more. That is an unbeliever's heart. That's very, very hard soil. That's why the farmer has to go out there with his plow and all that. All right, so the next one in 16 and 17 was rocky places. Those people are excited to hear the word. They're so grateful. They're just full of joy. But the soil is shallow, and the seed cannot take root. When persecution comes, and it always comes, they quickly fall away. And we know many people like that. I was like that myself. When I was in trouble, I'd seek the word, and it was great, and it helped me, and then I went off on my way. So it was very shallow, and the root could not take place. The thorns in 18 and 19, they hear the word, but the worries in life and desire for other things block the growth of the seed. And we've all have thorny areas in our life as well. You know, you can look at all of these areas and see parts in your life where you need to cultivate a little bit more in an area, right? In different fields. So the third or fourth was the good soil in verse 20. They hear the word, believe it, and cooperate with God. The seed then produces a harvest of 30, 60, and 100 times what was sown. We want to be good soil people. That's why we're talking about our hearts, having our hearts come alive in 2025. You know, some of us have been on this journey for 30, 40 years. Not me. I've only really been about 10 in true relationship with Jesus. But 30, 40 years, there's always more to learn. We can never reach all of what God knows. And so we always have more to learn. That's what I love about the Word of God. It will never grow stale. It will never grow old. It will take me from now to the end of my life. And I'm so grateful for that because I love the Word of God. I study it so much. I love it. So how do we prepare the soil? We pray. We have to pray and put in prayer. It prepares that soil and breaks up that hard ground. The Holy Spirit is the one who makes it grow. He softens the heart. He's the only one that can do it. He is the only one that can take that heart of stone and turn it to flesh. He is the only one. We pray for people to be saved, but without planting the seed, without the truth of God's word, they cannot be born again. There's no power. It's the power in the word of God. So when the seed of Jesus is planted into the prepared soil of a person's heart, a heart of humility and repentance, the seed carries all the DNA of Jesus, replicating him in a person's life. The written word carries the seed, but without that prepared heart, there is no DNA to replicate. If the farmer wants corn, he cannot plant wheat. He has to plant corn. So when we plant Jesus in someone's heart, that's what we're going to get, the DNA of Jesus, right? It is possible to know the word of God, but not have the seed planted in your heart. The word of God without good soil or an open heart is called religion. There is a difference between covenant and contract. A difference between the tree of life, which is living in our spirit, or the tree of knowledge, which is living in our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. We want to make sure that we're opening our heart to the Lord and becoming a very humble vessel so he can expose his covenant promises to us and bring them to a reality in our life. I don't want to do religion anymore. I've done it for years and years and years and years, and it didn't get me anywhere. It didn't change a thing in my life. Your life shows if you're born again in your spirit. Your life and the transition that happens as you continue to put in the word of God is how you know a person is following God the way they're supposed to. Because you will see fruit. You will see a harvest in their life because it changes. The word of God changes everything. So if we're not changing, we're not right with God. We're doing religion. So beware of that. Mark 4:23, Jesus said, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And I wanted to repeat his words right there. So hear what I'm saying. Hear it with your heart. All right? We're moving into the seed. This is where we need our gloves and our shovel. We're moving into the seed because we got to be intentional. Are we scattering, smattering, or intentional about our seed planting? Right? Because it says in the word that the farmer back in those days had a bag beside his hip, and he just took out and he went like this. That's why it landed everywhere. It landed on the rocks. It landed on the weeds. It landed in the field. But today, we want to be intentional. That's why I brought the shovel. I don't want to just scatter some seeds over you. I want to intentionally dig into your heart and put these seeds of faith. All right, we need to do that with our families. We're scattering all the time, scattering seeds over them, but every now and then the Holy Spirit opens up a window and you can say something really important from God. All right, and he'll water it. So the parable in Mark 4:3 says, a farmer went out to sow his seed. Okay, we're farming for our own selves, but we're also farming for others to come in, right? Keep your mind on both. In verse 14, Jesus explained it by saying, the farmer sows the word. So that's what we're sowing. We're sowing the word into our own field and into others. We see in the explanation following that in Scripture that the seed can't do anything until it gets in the ground. So if we're just throwing seeds, and we want to do that too in the Walmart and everywhere, throw seeds. But every now and then, someone's going to be so open and say, can you pray for me? Oh, we love that, don't we? And when we do, then we need to use the word of God. The word is what breaks the yoke. The word is what changes their heart. That's where the power is. So if we're just telling them what we know, that's not going to change everything. The power's in the word, okay? So it has to be put into a person's heart. Luke 8:11 says, the seed is the word of God. So there's no question now. We know that the seed is the word is the word of God, and it's all that's what we're doing. All right? When we take that incorruptible seed of God's word, which is not subject to death or decay, and we put it into hearts, it will produce a crop. It's incorruptible. We need to focus on it, meditate on it, and let the seed remain there. Don't dig it up. Then out of our spirits will come power. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about the power of God. Power comes out of our spirit because that's where all resurrection power resides, right? Joy, peace, healing, wisdom, anything we need will be produced by our soil. It's the soil that soft heart that allows the seed to open up. So your word of God needs to be in good soil so the seed will open. Have you ever watched a seed do its thing? I wish I could have done the demonstration for you, but as a preschool teacher, we took green bean seeds because they're really fast, and we put them into little baggies with cotton and water. And the cotton was the soil, the green bean was the seed, and then the water of the Holy Spirit. And we laid them in the windowsill. And within 5 days, you could see the seed crack open. You could see little roots coming out. And the kids just got so excited. Then we planted them in little Dixie cups and sent them home for Mother's Day. You know what I'm talking about. But watching that seed do its thing is just amazing. All right? The fullness of resurrection power lives inside of you. Get that. Get that. Come on, give me a hallelujah. Who else has got it in them? Who else carries? Who's a glorier carrier? Glory carrier. Amen. Okay. You online, go ahead. Raise your hands. Give a shout. All right. My next picture now is showing you what a seed can do. Look at that. I pulled that out on my flower bed. My black walnut tree dropped a seed. And the soil was good because I cultivate that soil in the flower bed. And out came a tree. I could have planted that somewhere else and had a tree. I got enough trees on my property, so we did not do that. But I knew to take a picture because someday this is going to be preached. Here it is today. You're so lucky. Amen. So that's a small tree, and I hated to throw it away. It has life, but, you know. All right, so seeds are full of life. They have power embedded in them to grow on their own accord. All by itself, the soil produces grain out of those seeds. Our hearts will produce whatever we put them in them as a seed, godly or sinful. Okay?
So good.
So good. Amen. The kingdom of God is divine work, not human achievement. It was God's plan to have a tiny little seed release power into the soil to multiply his goodness. If you have ever put in something in the ground and looked at it pop up, it's so amazing, isn't it? That dead little seed went in the ground and the soil did the work. Because God planned it that way. He planted everything from the very beginning out of seeds. Elephants came out of seeds because he spoke them out of his mouth. Wow, right? All right. He put action to his plan by giving everyone who came to him and said yes, he gave a mustard seed of faith to begin with. Isn't that awesome? He is so good. He created the seed, and then he said, I'm going to give everybody one. Everybody has it. So what you do with that in your heart is up to you. He's not going to force you. But that tiny little mustard seed can grow to be the biggest tree there is because that's the way God planned it. So it's the smallest seed and the largest tree. It's amazing. We just need to cooperate with God. Think about that. You just need to cooperate with God and things will multiply. And his word will increase because he is faithful. Can you say that? He is faithful.
He is faithful.
Amen. The big picture of God's plan is shown when Jesus was about to be put in the ground because he is our seed. In John 12, 23 and 24, Jesus said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." Jesus was our seed. The death and resurrection of Christ gave us all life, millions of seeds. Fun facts. I love fun facts. One seed of corn equals one stalk with 2 to 3 ears per stalk, and each ear contains hundreds of seeds. So my farmer, when he plants one little kernel of corn, he's getting millions if he plants enough, right? Because it all produces, and that's just amazing. One sunflower seed will produce a sunflower with 1,000 to 1,400 seeds on it. One acorn planted in good soil will produce an oak tree, which over a lifetime can produce 10 million seeds. Isn't God good? This is how he planned. We get to see it outside our window. This is what he planned for us to see. That's why we like nature. That's why we like nature, because we see it come alive in the spring. We see it flourish. We see a harvest. We see the deadness, and we're not so fond of it, Aaliyah, with the snow. But he's watering the ground, and he's preparing it for the next season. Did you hear that? He waters the ground with the snow, and he's preparing the soil for the next season. If your perennials... if they, and this is just a throw it in here because I know gardening. If your perennial doesn't get a cold enough environment in the soil during the winter, it will not flourish in the spring. So that's the Holy Spirit. Because when we go through things, it's that season, there will be life again at the end of that season. You may be struggling for a time, but there's always life because that's what he does. Just ride it out and you'll be there, right? Amen. So never underestimate the power of the seed. Amen. Mark 4, 26 and through 29, Jesus said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters the seeds on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows. So he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, some versions say blade, then the head, and then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Go ahead, Santos. There we go. Okay, we've got, and those on podcasts, I'm trying to describe to you what is seen on screen. It is a field next to my house that was barren, and now there are rows. I absolutely love the vision of that. Rows of, I'm going to say corner beans, I don't know, but they're coming up. They're coming up because he planted them. It's the springtime, the rain is coming, and the seeds are growing, right? I love that. Look how organized God is when he has that farmer that puts them in intentionally in rows. I love it. Yes, that's my neat and orderly person. All right, the earth activates the seed. The soil produces the grain. You get the correlation now? Are you getting the correlation? It's your heart that is the soil, and the good soil will produce. It will produce. We don't understand how this works, but God does. So Ecclesiastes says in 11, 4, and 5, as you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. Amen. He's already told us, don't try to understand everything because that's my job. Just because we can't understand it doesn't mean that we can't reap a harvest. If we faithfully scatter the seeds, or in my definition today, be intentional by continually putting in the word of God, the productivity is in God's hands. We just have to trust him. God reveals the truth to his people. The Holy Spirit is the one to open our minds to receive what we hear, and then we decide if we want to put that down in our hearts. When you meditate on something, and you take it in, and you focus on it, it will bloom. But you hear it, you just have to let it drop down about 11 inches, get into your spirit, and change your life. Okay? We cannot force the seed. We can only prepare the soil. That is why we have been focusing on the Hearts Alive in 2025 series. We want to focus on everybody in this place, anyone connected listening on podcast or Facebook, YouTube. We want our people to get this because we want a mature church. We want a mature church that goes out and works in the kingdom of God. We're not just here to grow and tickle our fancy for the week. We want a mature church. So God reveals the truth to those who will act on his word and make it visible in their lives, to have living faith. That's what we're going for here, living faith. We are not just trying to get from Sunday to Sunday. We want living faith that people can see in us and say, I want to be like that. We want to be like the apostles. We want to change our world. This year is going to be a tough year from what I hear the prophet saying. It's going to be a tough year. But we're preparing our hearts now, our body now, to be mature Christians and to be able to handle whatever comes down the line. Because the word of God says it's coming. We're not living in a fancy, wonderful little world. One of these days, it's going to be totally different. And y'all know it. So the word of God is what's going to make your crop good so you can handle what's coming and not be in fear. We do not want to live in fear in this house. Be no fear. All right? So, to recap so far, the ground or the soil activates what's inside the seed to produce what it should. When our hearts are prepared and we put the word of God in, it gives us life. Repeat after me. When the word of God is placed in my spirit, my faith gets activated. One more time with feeling. When the word of God is placed in my spirit, my faith gets activated. Woo! Feel the whoosh of the Holy Spirit on that, because this is how it works. This is what God intended for us. Picture number 4. All right, there we go. We got a crop growing. It's a lot bigger than it was in the last picture. Got a beautiful sunset. I love my sunsets over there going on in the west. And so anyways, I'm showing that, look how green. This is my favorite time of year right here, where everything is so lush and so green and so full of life. It's my favorite. I love this time of year. You can keep the snow and ice. I want the green. I want the heat to grow the seed. I've had my share of heat. So faith is the substance of hope. Okay? And hope is a positive, intense anticipation of good. Positive expectations come from renewing your mind to God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. Romans 12:2. A positive expectation is based upon God's promises. All right? If you hear God's promises, you need to expect him to work. That gives you a hope, which leads to this really grown faith. If you can't see something coming, the promise creates a vision in us, and then God can fulfill it. You have to have a vision of what his promise says to you. If you've got an empty field of vision, you can't see it, you can't get that expectation for what he's going to do. Don't you love getting visions? They're wonderful. But God can fulfill it when we see a vision in our hearts. So sit with him, meditate, get that seed of the word, the promise in, and see what it looks like for your life. I see myself this, I see myself that, I see my kids this, I see my finances this. When you see it, that brings up that expectation, and then God can fulfill the expectation because he's good. Because he's that good.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Our bodies recognize the condition of our hearts. Just as they respond to what we feed them in the natural, when we're not fasting, they also respond to our faith expectations, our visions, and our words. Things in the world of the spirit will line up with the expectations we are manifesting, whether it be for good or evil, for life or death. Did you understand that? That's saying that our expectations with our faith need to be something positive for God. Okay? Our visions need to be what's God got to say, not what we're seeing with our eyes. And our words need to come out and mirror the same, because our bodies will follow whatever we're thinking. Stinking thinking leads to stinking living. So Philippians 1:20, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Praise the Lord. That's hope. Expectation is very important in your growth for your faith field. Whether you put in your heart, whatever you put in your heart in abundance is what will grow in your life. So let it be the word of God.
Yes.
Amen? Because it never fails. Remember, it's subject, not subject to death and decay. The word of God is incorruptible. Seeds of this world will rot and go away and different things, but God's word never does. Jesus told us what to expect and how to grow in it. In Mark 4:24 and 25, it says, consider personally what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Okay? So he's talking about your spiritual healing, or hearing right now. He's talking about hear with your spirit. And whatever measure you put into your spirit is what you're going to get out. It says then, not so good, whoever has will be given more. That part's good. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. In other words, if you don't put it in, you're going to be sitting there next to an empty field. And it will be taken from you. Right? That's a harsh word. Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Is this good? God is good. He is so good. Now it's time to cultivate or fertilize. So in picture 5, we're growing. We're growing. Look at that beautiful corn coming up. You can see the hair on top, whatever that's called, the tassel is on top. But the ears are not there yet. They're in there, but they're not done. It takes time. When God plants a seed in your life, don't expect it to be today every time, because some things take time. The seeds take time. And we're growing and we're maturing, but it takes some time. So this is probably, you know, like August, maybe. You know, the corn's ready to harvest in late October, so it's probably August. When we put the Word of God in our hearts, we have to leave the seeds there. They take time to work. Your senses from your own mind sometimes will contradict the Word of God because nothing seems to be happening immediately. And this can create doubt. This is just a warning. We know these things. We get them across our heads. Oh, somebody prayed for me, but I don't see anything. Hey, don't underestimate the power of the seed. Other times, people will try to dig them up. The enemy will often use doctors or family members to try to steal the faith that you are cultivating. You know it, right? You're pressing in for getting closer to God, and next thing you got a sickness come on you. That's the enemy. He's trying to steal that seed. Don't let him. When you have all the power of God in you, you have the power of the Word, the seeds in you, fight to keep what Christ paid for. He paid for your healing 2,000 and some years ago. Fight to keep it. You're not asking God to bring things down from heaven. It's already in you. Fight to keep what he gave you. Tell the devil, return to sender. I will not allow that sickness or whatever to come on me. We're fighting to keep things here. That's a great perspective to have. And I like fighting back because I, for 30 years, got attacked and I just rolled with it because I didn't know better. But now we carry, when you know, you carry all authority. You have all the tools. You have the power of God residing in you. You don't have to roll along the creek bed as a stone being shuffled here and there, right? All right. Don't let them steal that seed from you. You must base your life more on the Word of God than what others say or how your body feels. How it feels makes you go, oh, no. No, it's not about feelings. Faith is about something you cannot see. It's Jesus. It's the seed inside of the soil. So don't go by your feelings. Don't go by your thoughts if they're negative. Well, I'm going to get there. But we have to protect our seeds. We've put them in. We want to cultivate and fertilize around them. Now, oftentimes, if you've got a garden, you'll be hoeing, getting weeds out of the way, throwing any sticks or stones that fell in there, right? Keeping your flower beds nice. Well, we have to protect our seeds in our heart as well. And we know that devil comes at us through a lot of different ways in this society today. We have to capture every thought and make him obedient to the Word of God. You know, I said the other night in healing class, if I got a thought while I'm in the bank that I should rob this bank so I can bless my church. Now, we know that is not a Word of God thing. I said, take it captive. And stomp on that thought because I don't want to go to jail. That's not going to produce anything good. My mind goes crazy sometimes, you know. But that's a thought. I mean, we get thoughts that don't line up with the Word of God, and we know when they don't, right? When you've been in the Word, you know that one doesn't line up. So take it captive and say, out of here. I'm not going to rob the bank. Thank you, Jesus. The next thing we must do is watch what we speak. This is the most powerful thing I think that changed my life was watching what I spoke. Declare life out of your mouth. You know, for years, all the sicknesses that I went through, I was always saying, gosh, I wonder what's next. I'm sure something's coming. Well, sure shooting, sure did, because I spoke it. But when I started speaking, no, that's not what God says. I'm healed. I'm whole. That's when it all stopped. It was declaring the Word of God over my life. The third thing we need to do is spend time with God. His presence is what cultivates our harvest. He's the one that really waters the seed. He's the one that cultivates everything in our hearts, our soil around that seed, to make it perfect to receive this whole field, right? That's what we want. We don't want just one tree. We want a lot. Well, no trees. Corn. Yeah, I live with lots of trees and lots of problems with trees. All right, it is our responsibility, our choice. I so many people think you're forcing Jesus on me. No, it's a choice. Everything we do with God is a choice, everything. He does not force himself on us at all. If we want to produce that 30, 60, or 100 times what was sown crop in Mark 20, our hunger and pursuit of God are required. We need to use godly disciplines like prayer, worship, meditation, Bible study, because this brings a greater harvest of truth and promises. If you're not doing any of those things at all in your week, your crop may not grow to 100 times. It will only be a little. Because the seed will work. But if you're not cultivating it, it's not going to produce this glorious, lovely-looking corn in August. All right, our obedience to God and service to others. You catch that? He doesn't want us keeping it to ourselves. We need to go and pray for people. We need to speak life over people. And when we do that, that cultivates even more in our life. Yeah, right. Amen. The God's plan is for us to bless others. He wants us well and blessed, but when we go bless others, it cultivates more in our life. Not that we go do it to get more. We do it to bless God, and he blesses us back. Hallelujah. That's the reaping and sowing there. All right, the next picture I absolutely loved because we're getting closer to harvest time. Just look how beautiful that corn is. It's very high. It's very green, and that sun is shining on it. So beautiful. We're getting there. We're getting there. This is more like September now. It's beautiful. The Holy Spirit will help you believe. He gives you a supernatural God kind of faith, but he won't force you, and you have to begin the process. He will give you supernatural faith because that's how good he is. That mustard seed inside of you will develop into supernatural divine faith. That's where you can start flowing in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's where you can start needing those gifts to go minister to others. He'll give you that supernatural, above normal faith. And it's extremely wonderful to be there. Thank you, God. I am so humbled that he uses us. I don't know about you. I'm so thankful that he gives me a job in the kingdom. And I want to do it to the best of my ability. So open up the word and start speaking those truths over yourself. Cooperate with God, put in the seed, and you will see a harvest. So 2 Peter 1, 3, and 4. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. You see, he gives us everything we need when we go to him. Everything. If there's a lack in your life, go seek God. He has everything we need for a godly life. So if we find something that we are desiring and we're not getting there, we got to look, is that a godly thing? Maybe that's not a godly thing. Maybe that's why I can't get there. And that's a praise God thing then. So we don't get to the things that will take us down, right? Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them, you may participate in the divine nature. You hear that? He planned for that. He planned for us to participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. When we are seeking God and we're moving that deeper level with him, it's so good because he has allowed us to escape the corruption from evil desires, and participate in divine nature. When we move into that, we are mature Christians. We are no longer partaking in the things that he tells us not to partake. Oh, I want to watch that movie. No, he says, and you say, okay. That's when we know we're maturing because we're actually becoming obedient to the word and participating in the godly nature that he's put in us. Your spirit is complete if you were born again. You've got the fullness of God living in you, but you have to activate it. I absolutely love getting the revelation of how much power resides within us. And I'm sure I'll get more revelation as I go in life, right? You too. But believe this. In Ephesians 3:20, it says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine." Who is him? Jesus. It's him who will do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Our little minds cannot imagine the fullness of the kingdom of God. We would be blown away. But it says, according to his power that is at work within you. His power is at work within us. Get that revelation. It's not you that's going and praying for people. It's Jesus. It's Jesus who comes out of you when you lay hands on somebody. It is Jesus who speaks those words out of your mouth that come out of your belly. Just because you have it in your head doesn't mean it's coming from him. It comes out of your belly. The word of God comes out of your belly. That's where the power resides. And we all have it. We all have it. Every one of us. So don't sit there and go, she's got more than I, he's got more than... No, we all have it. You got to get the revelation of using it. And you take the step of faith to use that power, that the power comes. And then it even knocks you off your feet. Like, whoa, hallelujah. Don't lose sight of that. You have everything you need already. Picture number 7. Now he promises to water. So I love this picture because fog is moisture, right? It settles in on the crops, the fields, the grass, and it provides a little bit of moisture. Not too much soaking rain, but just a little bit of moisture. This is fog, and it's wonderful. Luke 8:6, we're talking about the water now. The plants withered because they had no moisture. But see, God is so good. He planned for rain. He planned for fog. He planned for a little, a lot. He'll water the way he wants to water for that seed to produce what he wants it to produce. Now, if we had drenching rains every day, then that corn would not do well. Look at the beautiful tassels there. They're really getting ready for bringing up good tassels of corn. And multiply here. So the watering is done by the Holy Spirit, and we need to ask the Holy Spirit to water our seeds as we cultivate our fields. Without moisture, a seed cannot grow. We must have a connection with the Holy Spirit for our roots to endure the times of temptation. You hear me? If you're tempted, you need water. Okay? You need water. It's like an IV to somebody who's dehydrated. Doesn't they come to life? Don't they come to life when an IV is dripping into them? It's the word of God giving you moisture to come alive. Immediately, dehydration goes when the water is applied. And the roots can withstand that. You've all seen your gardens, like we've had no rain for 3 weeks, and the flowers are wilting and everything. The minute they get some water, they're ping, perk right up. We're the same way. Oh, we love it. We need water daily. From the living springs. And that's capital L, capital S. Living springs of the Holy Spirit. Just as we sang this morning, he promises to send the rain. Okay? Rain isn't bad. Rain is good. Too much rain is a little bit excessive, but he knows what he needs for the ground. We need the living truth of the word in our hearts to become reality. The Holy Spirit is the one to unveil that truth to us. He takes the truth from being intellectual and gives us understanding on how to live it out through our faith from our spirits. When we put in the word of God, it's just knowledge. It's knowledge going in, going in, going in, going in. You need the Holy Spirit to turn it into understanding. Okay? When he takes it and turns it into understanding, you will start to experience it because you're going to walk it out. Don't you want to experience what he's talking about? Quit just putting it in your head and not doing anything with it. We got people to bless out there. We got people to bring into the kingdom because he's coming back and it's going to happen fast. And I don't want anybody to perish. I don't want anyone to perish. I don't want my family. I don't want strangers. I don't want people to perish. Everything in this life, possessions, accomplishments, people, they will eventually fade and disappear. Only God's will, his work, and his word are permanent. They will be with us for always. We must stop grasping at the temporary things and begin focusing our time, our energy, and our money on the eternal word of God. It's our life in Christ. Very important. This isn't an offering message, but very important. That's why we ask for our hearts to ask God, what do you need? Because we have to focus our time, energy, and money on the eternal word of God because people need to be saved. And it's so good that you can give money to a ministry in Peru or Cuba or Israel or wherever, and they're out there doing the job, and you're just giving them money. I mean, praise God for that, right? He's not telling me I have to go there and do it, although I would love to. Honey, he's not here today, but he's hearing me. So picture number 8. We got a rainbow, okay? God watered, and then the sun came out. Hallelujah. It's not always going to rain. Jesus is there. The sun comes out. And if you notice, it's actually a double rainbow. We love that. Right outside our back door. Praise the Lord. Discipleship, double rainbow, is how the Lord leads us to prepare our fields for work of service in his kingdom. Discipleship is walking beside someone who is a follower of Jesus and has been changed by him. It takes a humble and open heart to accept discipleship and be on this journey together with someone else. Praise the Lord. The discipleship pathway that we recently discussed in our cell groups is the way the Lord is leading us here at MFH. We feel this is the best way to prepare people to serve God and be on mission with him as mature believers. There is a point to this. We need to get moving. We need to build up our body. We need to be willing to walk through this plan and grow. The stronger you become in the Word, the less you'll need someone else to help you. And you will then move into walking with someone new and modeling your faith for them. This is how the kingdom of God is multiplied. Does that make sense? Yes, that is the goal of this church. Discipleship and this pathway that we just released is how we get it there. So when we look at this year, 2025, for my Father's house, there are fields to be planted for a great harvest here. Our fasting guide, if you haven't gotten one, some are in the back, is focused on planting seeds for our discipleship pathway and for producing mature believers. You'll see we broke it into 3 weeks, and it's following Jesus. And the second week is being changed by Jesus. And the third is being on mission with Jesus. We have fields in each one of these areas that we work in here at my Father's house. And you'll see that's why it got laid out this way. There are scriptures for every single field. All right? This guide will bring unity corporately. That is the purpose. As we are planting the same seeds, we will receive the same harvest. That is the goal, right? The church has to be united. The church has to base on the Word of God, or it cannot grow. So, what are our fields of faith here that we want to grow in this church and for our people? Let me just say to the people listening by podcast or watching online from the outskirts, you can give us your email address, send a notice to us, and we will give you a PDF of this, and you can be praying with us. We have cell groups. These are all ways that people will start following Jesus and growing. Cell groups, Dad's Prayer Warriors, Worship Night, Healing Masterclass, Prayer Workshop, Disciple Making 101, Missions Abroad and Local, Engage Team. These are all ways that we are becoming disciples of Jesus Christ. We're learning, we're growing, we're maturing, and they're at the end going, right? Our future fields that we are planning in this guide is youth group. We need a youth group here. You see all these kids? It's awesome. Praise the Lord. We need a youth group, so be praying into that. We want deliverance training. This is a house of deliverance. Who wants to be trained in that? Me. We need that. We need that understanding of how to carry that authority. Thank God for prayer workshop. Thank God for the deliverance training coming. We have a healing center goal. That's a field we've been planting in for a while, but let's really step it up. Let's get to that healing center, okay? So we need to be putting the seeds in for that as well. We want to be a place where people can come and battle whatever illness they're going through and give them that infusion of an IV for faith. Every time they come, they're going to get some faith and they're going to go home and they're not going to be dehydrated and they're going to get healed. Amen. Can you see the vision? So let's plant seeds of faith to receive a huge harvest of mature followers of Christ on mission for the kingdom of God. Picture number 9, the last one. Harvest! Yes, there he is with his combine out there tearing it all down. What a crop he got this year. It was really great. I don't know how old that picture is, but yeah, he was out there doing that. So the final recap. Yes, I'm closing up. Take a look at the soil of your heart. 1, remove any hindrances that may affect how you are hearing from God in your spirit and his word. 1 important thing that we've been talking about. 2, put in the seed, the word of God. Meditate more effectively on his word so greater fruitfulness can occur in your life. I don't know about you, but I want the 100% return. Okay? 3, obey the word of God and act on it. Live it. We need to live. It's fun to follow Jesus. It's fun to be on mission with Jesus. The blessings never stop. You will prosper because that's the way he set it up. When you bless others, you will be blessed. It's not talking about money. It's talking about prospering in our spirits and getting all the goodness that he has for us because he is faithful to his promises. You owe it to yourself and to God to learn this and practice it routinely. Because God loves you and he needs you for his kingdom work. So let's get out there. Let's get planting seeds. Let's start getting these fields out there. That's the point. We want to pray together and get the soil going for these harvests in this church. This church will grow. The healing center will come. We will bless others. We will be mature believers. We will walk in what God has for this city. You see the vision? Amen. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you for your plan of the seed. It starts out so small, God, but you do the work. Just we have to prepare our hearts. So, Father, I just pray that this message opened up hearts, that it cultivated an area for deeper seed planting. I pray, Father God, that when they go home and they look at this prayer guide and they pray this scripture, that the seed is so deeply planted into these fields at MFH that it can only do, and it can do nothing but multiply 30, 60, and we're going for 100%, 100-fold back. We thank you, Lord, for the revelation in the spirit realm by your Holy Spirit. We thank you for coming and blessing us today with your presence, for speaking through me, for them receiving. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.